Muthonomics 12. Good morning, good morning. I hate doing these while I'm driving because the audio quality is just not as nearly as good as when I'm in studio with all of my audio equipment and the pop filters and the levels and all those things. But sometimes the ideas are just so fresh in my mind that I think it's better to just get them out. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about a handful of different categories. I've talked before with friends, and I've had a category for a while of what I call wishapreneurs. And this is all centering around the entrepreneurial space, the tech scene, especially here in the Tampa Bay area. There was a big event, Synapse Florida, that just went down this last weekend. And a ton of hype, a ton of social media hashtags, just a plethora of excitement around this thing. And I didn't attend because I knew it would throw up in my mouth. If you want to know more why I would throw up in my mouth, go back and listen to one of the first Muthonomics episodes of, I think it was entitled something along the lines of, "Hey VCs, I'm not buying what you're selling." And same group of people running this Synapse Florida conference, they're creating a cottage industry around people who want to be entrepreneurs, and they're profiting off of those desires. So it was $299 to go to the conference, and you know, so you multiply that out times, I think they said 3,500 people showed up, so you're right at $1 million in revenue. And okay, whatever. So, you know, so you get around and talk for 2 days about rah, 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 bad romance or entrepreneurship. And as I was browsing through the hashtags last night, a couple categories just jumped off the page of me. And the first one, which has been there for a while in my mind, is the wishapreneur. These are the people who love the idea of entrepreneurship, but they never get beyond their fascination with the potential of entrepreneurship, and they just continue. Yo, homeless guy. It's a bike lane, not a pedestrian lane. They never get beyond they never get into the realm of doing. So they're just a wishapreneur. They love the idea of creating wealth. They love the idea of being their own boss. They love the idea of trying to raise money. They love the idea of creating and iterating and serving customers, but for whatever reason, fear, apathy, paralysis, whatever it is, they never move beyond and actually take a step. And wishapreneurs are plenty. I've sat through pretty much at this point in time countless eavesdropping things at various Starbucks and local coffee shops over the last 15 years, listening to people, you know, fantasize about giving their boss, telling the boss to go pound sand, and they're going to launch out on their own and do this and that and the other. And it's more of just sort of a kvetching, blowing off steam sort of thing. So if that's your deal, and we're going over a bridge, so it might be loud, and bridge grade over. If that's your deal, and that's how you blow off steam, and that's how you cope, I guess continue to do it. But as I was looking at hashtags last night, another category kind of rose out of this whole hype-based, hubris-based entrepreneurship tech scene here in Tampa. And it's something I'm going to call a fake-apreneur. And you go, man, you're full of just made-up words. And yeah, I am. And if you don't like it, well, I don't really care. Fake-apreneurs are people who have an actual concept to market, or at least a prototype or a demo, but the core idea is relatively lame, and they think they can make up for the deficiencies of their idea through excessive, flashy, styled extravagance. And I've seen this a handful of times here in the local entrepreneurial scene. There was a there was a startup back in 2012 when I was invited to be a design slash marketing coach for one of the startup weekends here in Tampa. There was an app that was being hyped at the time called MyNite, MyNyte. And it was this, the idea was that you would load this app, it was targeting college students, and you would coordinate your night through this MyNite app. So you would load up a Google Maps of all the bars in the area, and you would say, I'm going to be at this bar at 7, that bar at 9, that bar at 11, and then you could recruit your posse or your girl squad to accept where you were going to be and when, and then you could go enjoy the night. They had a frenemies feature, supposedly, and these were all screenshots, mind you. They had a frenemies feature where if you didn't want to run into people, you could set a notification of like where they were. So it was like, oh, your frenemy is coming, you know, from this bar to this bar, so you might want to bounce. I mean, it seemed like it was more like fantasy future land for frat boys. And then, so the idea itself was somewhat lacking because, I mean, who plans out their bar scene to that degree? And you're going up against Facebook, which was a huge messaging app. You were going up against Kick at the time. I think Snapchat was starting to make some inroads. So you're going up against more ubiquitous messaging services that aren't specifically targeted to MyNite. And I think that was one of the fundamental flaws with the idea was, you know, having an app that is Friday night only, Saturday night only, I don't know if you're going to get the same addictive use that you get out of something that you use to communicate across, you know, every day of the week in a variety of circumstances. So I think people are more inclined to hack a more ubiquitous, time-insensitive, day-insensitive service and make it work for various venues than they are going to be, you know, prone to remember, oh, hey, it's Friday night, let me open up my night. So the idea was, I thought, a little bit flawed. But what they ended up doing is they ended up trying to compensate for the deficiency in the model with tremendous flash. So, and I don't mean flash like Macromedia website flash, like flashy, luxury. They paid for 50 Cent to do a promoted tweet for the app. They rented out a club, a really upscale, sort of trendy club over in the Clearwater area, and they shipped in Lamborghinis and Ferraris. I don't know how they were procuring private jets, but either it was through friends or dads, or they were actually renting them by the hour, but they did a bunch of promotion that included, you know, private jet things, and really tried to overcompensate for the deficiency of the idea. And that is, I think, what I would classify as a fake entrepreneur. Because an entrepreneur sees a need and fills that void. And I think that's the hallmark of fake entrepreneurs, is they're not... Oh, I can't turn left here. Did not realize that. Entrepreneurs see a need, they feel that, and they fill the void. Fakepreneurs sort of invent some fake need, some perceived need that's not really a need, and they try to make up for it with the flash and the crazy marketing and all these things. And I saw this again, and it's so weird that there's so much hype around these things that aren't really fulfilling needs. So one of the big companies down here that was highlighted, keynoted, is a main quote-unquote star of the night or star of the weekend at this Synapse thing, is a company, I can't even remember their name, maybe Health Valet, Care Valet, Care something. And maybe I'm just dumb and I don't get it, but when I went to their Twitter account and they had a video that was their one of two tweets that was showing what they did, I clicked on the video and it was a 10-second slide that popped up with a night scene, night picture of a cityscape, and then sliding in from the right was text that said something along the lines of revolutionizing healthcare. Okay, awesome. So then I found their site, and I went over to their site, and I opened it up, and they browse you through the screenshots of their app. And again, maybe I'm dumb and I'm missing it, but from what I gathered through the screenshots of their app, they were loading in Google Maps and then giving you categories to click on. So they loaded up Google Maps for your area, and you clicked dentists, or you clicked OBGYNs, or you clicked cardiologists, and then it would populate those, drop those pins on top of the map. I mean, that, what? That's revolutionizing healthcare? You're pulling the Google Map API into an app, and instead of having people type out dentist, you're simplifying it by letting them click a button that says dentist? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm dumb. Like I said, maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I don't get technology. But I have a really hard time understanding how that's revolutionizing healthcare. And then you clicked on the cardiologist or the dentist that you preferred, and then it loaded their contact info. And this was the star. This was the whole pitch was, let's bring a unicorn. Let's create a unicorn in Tampa. Well, that sure as hell is not going to be a unicorn. Pardon my language. A hacked Google Map API that loads, that drops pins for medical providers. And again, and this one wasn't even so much the app itself, the marketing itself that they were trying to overcompensate with, because it looked like they picked some $39 WordPress theme. Now, they didn't even spring for a $59 theme. Okay, I mean, if you're gonna have a lame concept, at least spring for a $59 theme, for Pete's sake. Looks like they went with the budget $39 theme, kept all of the default icons, and then their Flash was the founder, apparently, because from what I gathered from the few pictures that he had posted on his social media, he was really playing up the founder look, and the fake apreneur look is the overstarched, severely pressed white dress shirt with a very rigid collar, the top two buttons at a minimum undone to reveal your fake tan chest. The sleeves on said white dress shirt need to be too long so that they poke out a good 3 inches from the suit coat sleeves so that you can show off flashy cufflinks. And then you pair the torso ensemble with a pair of designer, not skinny, but designer slim cut jeans. And then below those you put on some sort of cockroach squishing dress shoes, preferably brown, preferably over polished to the degree that they might blind you if you catch the light reflecting off of them in the wrong way. And then you sport some crazy European Premier League soccer star haircut and walk around like you're effing Bill Gates. So I'm conflicted because I'll be honest, I'm slim. I've worked out a lot. I've played a lot of tennis. I haven't allowed myself to get all doughy. I'm almost 40, and I'm relatively fit. And I like slim cut clothes. They fit me well. I like ties. I mean, I love Daniel Craig's look in the Bond films. I love the styled haircuts. But it's so hard for me because, in my estimation, that's a fake preneur. Someone who's trying to make up for a deficiency in their idea, a deficiency in their concept, by smoke and mirroring the appearance of either themselves or the appearance and of the marketing of their idea. So it's a complete cluster, you know what. It's embarrassing, and it's just an absolute, abject embarrassment. And I need to pause right here to go into a meeting, and I'm going to continue a few more thoughts when I get back. So I'm back. I left off just before 9 a.m. It's now a little after 2, so this is a five-hour break in between El Podcast recording sessions. I went into a meeting and then had another meeting and then had lunch and then went to another meeting. Day chock full of meetings, so it's past 2. What I don't want these things to become is high-pitched whining complain sessions. But I'm not even exactly sure if I can remember the precise things that I was saying. I think I was mocking the attire of the fakepreneur who was attempting to distract from the substanceless nature of his startup idea via dressing a certain way or by making the marketing and the design of that idea look much sexier than the reality would really be. So yeah, that's the point that I took from my observations of looking at the hashtags associated with Synapse Florida, looking at the featured startups that they featured. They give all these things really fancy labels: Disruptor of the Year, Startup of the Year, and it's almost like they're hoping to bounce from hype to hype to hype. And they're hoping that if they just keep on top of the hype bubbles, that will somehow catapult them, bounce them into the success ball pit. If you've ever been to a trampoline zone with your kids, or friends' kids, maybe you don't have kids, but you've been to one of those trampoline jump houses, and you look out over the really large platform, almost seems like a football size room just filled up with trampolines everywhere. And every time you go, there's always the brave children who, there's always the real timid people on the edges, kind of just, you know, bouncing a couple inches off. And then there's the people who get a little bit more courage and they pick out one rectangle and they, you know, go 2, 3, 4 feet. And then there's the ones who get even a little bit more daring and they try to go dunk on the 11-foot basketball hoop and inevitably somersault and catapult and fly all over the place. But the really brave ones, in my estimation, are the ones who go all the way to the edge near the wall and then they attempt to spring from one rectangle to the next the entire width of the full trampoline zone area. And I've been impressed and rather surprised and amazed that I have not witnessed significant collisions as these brave young individuals make this attempt at darting across 20 different trampoline jump things without colliding with people. And I think that... Actually, I don't even know what I was thinking. This thought has completely left me. It has fled me like a bad dream. You wake up and you can't remember the dream. I just like had a moment and I can't remember where this stupid trampoline idea was going at all. At all. Something about startups, smoke and mirrors. Huh. Well, that's gone forever. That's lost into the abyss of forgotten, unscripted podcasting talking points. Who knows what I was talking about? I have no idea. Maybe I need another coffee. I was working late last night, and I did participate in more meetings than I normally do. I really try to avoid meetings because they sap productivity like nobody's business. And I'm sure that's a groundbreaking point for you. If you've sat through meetings, you know how lousy they can be. So don't be a wishapreneur where you just sit around and perpetually talk about how cool it would be to start something. And if you do start something, make sure that the idea has substance. Don't create a substanceless idea and then try to backfill it with an overstarched white dress shirt unbuttoned down to reveal your fake tanned chest and a nice suit coat with 3 inches worth of cufflink sleeves hanging out while you put on almost too small slim fit jeans with some huge cockroach squishing shoes. Don't do that. And in fact, if you watch some of those startup movies, like I think about The Social Network that looked at Facebook, you know, Zuckerberg was doing that in sweatpants and plaid pajama pants and t-shirts. And, you know, I think that's why when you see Silicon Valley, a lot of those startups, they're just grumpy. They're grungy, frumpy, not well-dressed individuals. But a lot of times their ideas have legitimacy. So one of the things I've actually been doing and going to trying to get more, just meet more people in the entrepreneur scene or claiming to be entrepreneurs in the Tampa area is I go to these things and I actually look for people who are absent the flash, absent the spectacle, absent the gravitas, as you might say. I was reading a movie review last night that included Forrest Whitaker, and the movie review was panned. The movie itself was panned beyond recognition. It was obliterated into Rotten Tomatoes single-digit percent land. But what struck me was as I was going through these reviews at 11 o'clock at night to decompress from the day, they mentioned twice, two different reviews mentioned, although this movie blows, Forrest Whitaker's gravitas. And I thought, you know what? He does have gravitas. And then another word that popped out was quirky. He's quirky. He's quirky and he has gravitas. And I thought, yeah, he is kind of quirky. Like, he's got that, like, one eyeball with a little twitch thing. And is he blind in that eye? Is that a glass eye? Do they put a contact lens in it to make it look like it's not a real eye? I'd be curious what the story is. It's too bad I do not have the resources to go figure that out. And I'm going to take a sip of this Americano. I need some energy. Which reminds me of one of the coolest websites I ever saw back in the day. I think it was 1998. There was a flash website of the day that was actually called N, the letter R, and then G. And that was their company, kind of like Energy. But it was NRG. And I think it was a German company, so I think it was NRG.de. That thing was the sickest flash site on the face of the earth. Man, I love that thing. And there was another one, too, for a consulting firm in the UK. And I wish I could remember the name of that one, because I'd be curious to see if these companies are still around. You know, they rose to what at the time was the kind of the equivalent of social media fame these days. They had a quote-unquote viral moment by getting listed on one of the exclusive flash gallery websites that featured the best flash websites of the day from around the world. That was the equivalent of, you know, some nut-kicking video or some, you know, terrible accident video, some fail video today of where you would go viral. You would get your flash site featured on one of these sites and boom, the site would crash and you'd have a ton of traffic and you were instantly famous, at least in the design community. There was another one that was a UK consulting firm and their colors were purples and pinks and blues and they had a lot of like floaty fake like kind of water bubble things that sort of looked like lava lamps going on in the background. That site rocked too. But I'd be curious to see if these companies were still around. Too bad I can't remember that name. But I guess I do have the ability to pull up my mobile browser. Let's give this a try. I have no idea it's going to work. We'll go here. Come on, shortcut. Yep, work. Go there. Go here. And we're going to put in nrg.de. Huh. Definitely not what I remember. This is Feed Valid, a valorization company. And then they have some message in German.
Aktuelle Website zu gelangen. Maybe that means new website coming soon. I have no idea. Click the logo. Click and see auf das Logo. Auf unser. Maybe click the logo to get an answer via the website form. I don't know. If I click the logo. Ah, I clicked the logo. Oh, okay, so NRG doesn't exist anymore. It is now, I clicked the logo and it took me to feedvalid.eu, which has stalled loading. So I'm just going to assume that both of these things are dead. So apparently a Flash website back in the day does not equate to business success 20 years later. So, that was the same for 2Advanced, that company 2Advanced. They were a big Flash developing website, really, really successful in the design community. But now, I mean, what is that? That's like having like a horse carriage driving skill. Like, the demand for that's nil, you know? And it's amazing that it happened in the course of about 10 years. It went from, if you could design Flash websites, you were the bee's knees, as some people say. And now, designing Flash websites is like not desirable in the slightest. So anyway, I'm going to these entrepreneurial things and I'm looking for the entrepreneurs. I'm looking for people. I'm looking to meet people that aren't full of pretense, I think is what it boils down to. That aren't full of pretense, that aren't full of hubris, that aren't a bunch of knucklehead, self-deluded, thinking they're disrupting some billion-dollar industry with their mock-ups. I mean, come on. Come on. Your mock-ups are not disrupting billion-dollar industries. Holy smokes. An idea has the potential to disrupt billion-dollar industries. Solid, consistent, sound execution of that idea has the ability and the potential to disrupt billion-dollar industries. But your stupid mock-ups coupled with your over-the-top marketing presentations are not disrupting jack squat. In fact, what they need to be doing is disrupting your delusion. But they're not. They're solidifying your delusion. They're causing you to buy your own press, which, by the way, doesn't even exist yet. Which is why I think these organizations create their own organizations to self-validate. And not to get too crass, but there is a term that I'm sure some of you have heard for that type of activity that's called a circle something. And this happened at the PR firm that I worked at. I worked at this huge PR firm, and company XYZ would come with some community image problem. Let's just call it community image problem A. And company XYZ would come and say, we need to solve this community image problem. And the next thing you know, there'd be the newspaper writing a story about citizens for this particular issue. We stand in agreement with company XYZ. And you go, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, hey, that can't be that bad. There's citizens that are actually for it. Well, then when you work at the PR firm, you realize that their community relations arm has gone out and created the nonprofit to make it look like there's this grassroots activity of real consumers supporting this topic. It's such a load of crap. But people read it in the newspaper and they go, oh, well, hey, it's a community group, so it's citizens for this topic and they're in support, so I guess I can go along with it. That's how that works. If you did not know that, that's how that works. And these entrepreneurial groups, at least here in Tampa, I think are doing the same thing. So this one thing that was totally hollow with the Google Maps overlaid, just pin drops of Google Maps that won some disruptor award from some entrepreneurial organization. I'm not accusing them of being created by the parent organization, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if it was. It would be like me creating, some design awards thing and then making my plugins and my products win the awards. Well, that's a little bit circular validation. And I think that's what... I think that's probably the common thread with all of these metropolises and cities trying to replicate Silicon Valley in their area, is that they are circularly validating themselves. And I think it's giving people confidence that, oh, hey, look at all the activity. But really, it's just hucksters. I mean, that's the definition of a huckster. You know, let me make this, let me bundle this pile of crap and make it look desirable, so that people will be tricked into buying it or participating in it. So don't be a huckster. Don't be a wishpreneur. Don't be a fakepreneur. Focus on a good idea, slowly, diligently, faithfully executed. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that that is where success, disruption, all these things actually come into play. They come into reality through the slow, steady execution of an idea, which at its core is very solid, but as the idea gets moved down the path of implementation, the market beats it up and modifies the idea. And there's probably a whole nother podcast to be had here on the whole notion of that if the idea comes from your head, it's probably not a good one. You have to listen to what the market is saying and respond accordingly. That's how businesses work. If the idea is in your head, unless it's some crazy physical invention that's never been seen before, and even then, that's really difficult. Oh man, this is like, this podcast was almost over, and now I just hit the fire. I hit the second wind. I was watching this thing on the top innovations in grocery stores over the last 40 years. Actually, no, since the 1920s. So for the last almost 100 years, it was these innovations. The homie that invented the shopping cart, it took nearly 6 years for people to become comfortable with using shopping carts. Because prior to that, you'd walk into the store, and when they were the mom and pop supply stores, you would tell the attendant, I need a pound of butter, a gallon of milk, you know, whatever, 5 pound bags of salt. And they would go and fulfill the order from behind the counter and then bring the stuff to the counter and you would pay. That transitioned into sort of this guided maze walk where you would come in and they would give you a bag or some sort of basket that you would carry, and you would walk through this maze, very guided, almost like IKEA, but even more rigid, and you would then have the freedom to pick the item off the shelf. Well, when the guy came up with the idea for the shopping cart, he said, hey, if we can pack more stuff into that cart, our dollar, or the ticket item will go up. So he invented the shopping cart. And most of you probably don't remember that back in the day it was turnstiles. So when you'd come into a grocery store, it was a one-way turnstile to get in, and then the only way to get out was through the checkout line. Very smart. Sort of annoying if you were a customer just needing to get one thing or just look at something. So you would come through and grab a cart and then go shopping. But at the time, it wasn't a cart. You would just carry your bag. So this guy invented the grocery cart and he put them there at the front, and nobody wanted to use them. He said that women were a little put off. And men were machismo of, I can carry my own groceries, I'm strong enough to do that. So for 6 years, this idea just lingered in sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I hate it when my mind isn't sharp. I need more coffee. Limbo. That's still not the word I wanted. It just sort of hung in limbo. Still not the word I wanted, but I'm just going to have to deal with it because I'm not firing on all cylinders at the moment. And I want to say Pandora. That's not right. It just hung there, and the only way he finally got it to work was he hired a group of models to dress up like sexy housewives. Not like scandalous sexy, but just, you know, kind of 1950s, 1960s, more 1960s era, kind of Pan Am, you know, stewardessy sort of thing. An attractive model looking very stylish for the 60s. He hired a group of women to come in to his stores, and all they would do all day long was park. They would walk and get a cart. They would push the cart around the store, putting items in, and then they would just cycle through. That's all they would do. So there was like five or six women per store, and they would get a cart, push it through, and over time, the housewives saw this, and they were like, oh, I can put my kid in that little seat and then fill the cart with groceries. This makes sense. And of course, the guys, who probably weren't shopping that much anyway back in the day, because leave it to Beaver, you know, the woman's place was in the kitchen at the time for the most part, or the grocery store. But they did say that guys who would come in, they would go, oh, there's attractive women pushing the carts. This must be what I need to do as well, because as we all know, men are fairly shallow when it comes to following attractive women around. Yes! And I think a guy just got busted for speeding through my kid's school zone. It's about time, Tampa police. People fly through this thing 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, and there's never... Oh, you're kidding me, cop. You didn't put on your stinking siren and bust that fool? I swear. How are you going to slow people down if you don't penalize them for breaking the obvious speed limit zone in a flashing, very obvious school zone? Unreal. Consider this my official complaint, TPD, Tampa Police Department. Get it together. Drop out a couple tickets and we'll slow this crap down. Anyway, so there's a little history of the grocery cart and how it took a very long time for even these great ideas, which we take for granted. Now, that guy's going 60. Just because you drive a $90,000 Mercedes doesn't mean you are precluded from the application of the law. This guy, what? Jeep Cherokee. This is unbelievable. Wow. Anyway, it takes time. It takes time for even good ideas to be accepted. So be patient, focus on the idea. And that's the thing. Once the idea is solid, then sexing it up a little bit, flashing it up a little bit, it's fine. Hire the models to come in and show your idea. But it's got to be solid to begin with. It can't be smoke and mirrors. Because if it's smoke and mirrors, all of the luster is not going to do anything to advance it. But if it's solid, you apply a little polish to it, and voila, it might take off. So that's it. Have a good one. Talk at you all later. We will do one question real quick. One question comes from a gentleman named Craig. And he says, should you raise money? Dear Mr. Muth, again, don't call me Mr. Muth, people. Call me Brandon. Dear Mr. Muth, in your experience, do you recommend fresh startups go out and spend energy trying to raise money, or do you recommend they self-fund? Sincerely, Craig. Okay, I won't identify you. P.S. Thank you for the humor. It brightens my day. Awesome, Craig. Thank you. I try to be a mix of humor and some seriousness. I would say self-fund as long as you can. One, because it gives you control and allows you it gives you the flexibility. Two, raising money is a waste of time. It's very difficult. And three, most people that have money are going to want to see stuff, and they want you to give them your firstborn son or your firstborn daughter. So I would say self-fund as long as possible. And then when you are ready to fund, I would look at angels. I would look at individuals over VC firms. That's my advice. I'm sure that there's tons of people who would disagree with me. But I have self-funded for as long as I possibly can and continue to do so on most fronts. And then the goal is to self-fund until the product itself funds itself, and then you multiply that, which is what we're starting to get into with the Muthco land. So hope that answers your question, Craig. Have a great day. Yes, I'm under 40 minutes. Peace.